Judges chapter number 11. Very familiar Bible scripture reading for folks that read the Bible. I feel like I just need to bring out a point here. Stand with me if you will. In Judges chapter number 11, when you found your place, say amen. Verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon who? Jephthah. And passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Notice this in verse 33, and he smote them. The Bible said he smote them, and the Lord wrought a victory. Verse 34, and he comes home back to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourine and dances. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Notice the word of God here where he says, you have brought me very low. It was noted in history that when the commander came in from war, it was generally the servants who ran out to meet the commander. He never once expected to be his daughter. And you know what he says here? Thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I skipped through the reading, because really from verse 29 to verse 40 is where I'm planning on preaching. But for the sake of time and preaching, I want to just skip around there. I feel like talking to us about victories and broken promises. Victories and broken promises. Would you stretch your hands this way one more time and ask the Lord to help us? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, I love you, and I praise you. I honor you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Take every feeble effort of mine and help me to preach your gospel this very hour in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know that the scriptures that I will so enlace into this subject, they're found in your Bible so many times about vows and commitments that people made. The Bible says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that the evil they do. Be not ravished with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou art upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known in his multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, and affair not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore God shall be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands. I'm reading to you the subject of this man named Jephthah, how that he had come out, and I don't want to go into a lot of history here, but let me just lay this foundation. He was a man that was born of a harlot. His family, if you'll read in chapter 11 and other chapters concerning him, his family, because he was born of an improper child, they said, and born by a harlot, they threw him out of the house and they told him he had no inheritance in their father's house. He was a blackball, if you might say. And so they threw him out of the house, and stay with me just a minute. They threw him out of the house and they didn't want him in there. And so the Bible teaches us that he leaves there and he goes to the land where he chooses of Tob. And he goes and he dwells there in that land. And later they find that the Philistines and the enemies and the Ammonites and all the of God start warring against the people of God, and they go, they seek it out, and they go to find in the man that has strength and power that he'll come fight with them and war with them. And I'm not going to go into all of the history of that, but they get this man and he comes back. He makes a vow and a commitment to the elders. He said, I will come back and fight for you. But then this is what I want to preach to us tonight. We are so apt to be able to make vows. Our mouth sometimes, as one man said, is like a faucet that's running without a handle to shut it off. We make vows and commitments and promises while we have no intent in our heart to ever pay them. When we use vows as just being remedies to get out of trouble, we make ourselves fools in the eyes of God and in the service of the Lord. It was never intended that a vow was to be made to gain leverage over God or to get God to do something for you. It was the simple fact that there was a war and there was a struggle between the people of God and between the Ammonites, and there come a time when nothing else would happen. Hear me in this house. When a man, though he has strength, knows his dependency is on the Lord, he vows a vow to God for security. He vows a vow to God for hope. He vows a vow to God for victory. Hear me in this house. I wonder so many times how many times we've got victories and we've made promises and told the Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll work this out, I'll do this. Well, in the whole process, we never pay that which we have vowed. I figure to be a little tight tonight. When we make vows and we do not pay them, the Bible says, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. We make vows and we make promises. Babies are laying on the intensive care unit. Children are taken and falling into such trouble. People are in such great anguish. Babies are about to die. Family homes are torn all to pieces. And families that are broken up, if God will put it back together. together. I promise we'll come to church. I promise we'll do better. But in the process of it all, God wrought victory for us. But then there is vows that are never made, that are paid or not paid. Oh, you hear me in this house. We live in a society of a church world who's big at telling God, heal my mama, heal my baby, heal my daddy, heal my husband, and I'll pick up my prayer life. I'll do better. While in the process, we're back in that same shape all over again. Yet was a man not only of war, but he was a man of contentment and commitment. He was a man that knew what it was like to make a vow and to pay a vow. Oh, I need a little help here. It gets easy when you got this many bills stacked up needing money. If the Lord would just make a way, I promise we'll not squander our money anymore. Oh, if you're going to get tight, I'll get tight with you. I promise the Lord, He'll just bless us. We'll use it wisely. And next time you turn around, they're out buying a $50 reel. Come on here. And they got a bunch of them in their shed already. Come on, say amen anyhow. I'm going to get a little personal tonight. I'm going to preach more like a pastor than evangelist. Hear me in this house. We have a whole lot of people when their backs against the wall and they're needing help, they're willing to make vows up against the wall. But when they're out in the open and there's no problem whatsoever, all the prayers have been answered. It seems like everything's going good. It's been in there. We act like we ain't never told God I'm going to do better. I promise I'm going to pray. I promise I'm going to get up early. I promise I'm going to fast more than what I've been fasting. But when the battle's over and the victory's won, we got broken promises laying all around us. The fever's gone. The disease is healed. You better pray a little bit, honey. The curse is broken. The financial struggle's over. Everything is fixed. Families are at peace. But our vows are still broken. Notice, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. He goes off to war. Ain't just what he did. He sent 3 times messengers unto the king and told him, said, look, we don't owe you nothing. But they kept arguing. Same junk that's going on over there right now is the same thing that's happening right here in the chapter where I'm preaching. Hear me in this house. You know what took place and happened with them? I'll tell you what took place. They reached a place where they felt like in their heart that we need a deliverance. We need somebody that can fight for us. And we'll do whatever it takes to win the victory, but we don't want to do whatever it takes to maintain the victory. Don't get me mixed up here. I know Jephthah done what he said he was going to do. But I'm using it on the flip-flop at what a lot of times we say we're going to do and never do. Things that we tell the Lord. Here it is. God, when most of our prayers are filled with an if, when most of our praying is filled with, I need help. If you'll do this, I'll tell you something. I know I'm going to get in trouble here. It's going to climb down real
outside in here. But when it comes down to me serving God, whether I have a job or not, I'm not in it for the job. I didn't serve God because He gave me a job. I'm serving the Lord because He loves me and I love Him. Stay here. When your experience comes to be only on vow-making experience, and it becomes to be something that fits as a contract between you and God, you have then lost the sentiment of being saved, of being born again. Your contract with God is only partial on the natural side.
I want it. I want it, but when I get it, I want to fix it just like I want it. God, if you'll do this for me, I promise you I'll do thus and thus. If you wrote, I didn't expect you to shout tonight. I knew I was going to have a train to pull. That's why we had less singing. Going to have a whole lot more preaching. If you'll fix this, I promise I'm going to do thus and thus. But when this takes place, something walks up to us and says, hey, what about what you told God you was going to do? Come on here. You know, it's easy. It's easy for all of us to make vows on paying tithes on money. I know some of you devils out there. Oh, that's all the church is in it for money. Well, why do you go to work? You think these lights are just paid by just go being paid? Come on here. You think that air that's flowing in here is just flowing and say, well, God's going to make a way? Yeah, He's going to make a way. He's going to use you and He's going to use me to make a way. Come on here. I mean, don't leave me just yet. We got a whole lot of people that'll make vows on money that they ain't never had yet. If you just fix it, God, where I can get it, I promise I'll do this. But the minute we get it, we're off doing something else. We're off on a vacation. We're off buying clothes. And we forget about what we told the Lord we're going to do. Vows that are made only in a crisis are no more than a leaking umbrella. They don't protect. They don't keep you. They don't fix no problem because they know you'll be back to get wet again. When Jephthah stood there, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. When it came upon him, the Bible said he took off and he passed through lands. I'm not going to go into all of it. Verse 33 and tell you, he conquered 20 cities in that one besiege. You hear me? I mean, you can barely conquer yourself. He conquered 20 cities. I mean, he took over 20 cities. He subdued 20 cities. He stopped 20 cities from moving. If you'll give me the victory, I promise that whatever comes out of my house, I promise you, Lord, I'll give it to you as a burnt sacrifice. That's what I want to preach. It's easy for us to paint pictures in our mind on what we'll vow over when we don't expect our unexpected. It's easy for us to tell the Lord, I'm going to do thus and thus. But then when the least thing that we expect comes to running at us, I didn't expect that, God. I didn't expect that. I know I'm touching nerves here tonight. But when you tell the Lord, if you'll just deliver me from this battle, if you'll just deliver me from this struggle, if you'll just deliver me from this pressure,
I promise you, I'll not get my eyes back on that again. I'll not start talking that way again. Oh, hear me in this house. It was late last night, and I knew when I felt the Holy Ghost deal with me that I was going to preach this Sunday night. I knew I wasn't going to come up here and everything was going to be hip pocket high. I tell you why. We are creatures that love to make vows, but we're not proud at paying what we said we'll do.
You'll promise me, God, if you'll take this away, I promise I'm not getting tangled in this again. I promise you, that little mind battle, that little struggle, if you'll fix this, I promise I will not do it again. And then before you know it, where are you? You're right back at it again. Why is it? I'll tell you why it is. Oh, hear me. The battle does not reveal the strength of our power. Oftentimes the battle reveals the weakness that's inside of us. And he walked over there and he said, the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. And he looked around. At that present moment, he forgot about all the vows that he made and that he told the Lord, I'll do. But then all of a sudden, on his way back home, he walks into the door, into the camp, if I might say. And there coming out the door, here comes a girl. She's dancing. She's playing an instrument. And she's singing. But not only is she's singing melodies that goes deeper than my ears. That's my baby singing. I'm going to get real tight right here. And then about that time, he drops. I'm just going to paint this little picture. I look at him as a daddy that fell to his knees. And he drops down on his knees and said, oh, you have made me very low. I didn't expect this. You weren't the one I was looking for. I never thought you'd be the one come running out the door. But then all of a sudden, I love what he said. You take it for what it's worth, men. I love it when a man stands up and says he's going to do something, do it. Come on, dear. I wish to God, and I'm going to get some of you men mad at me, and that's quite all right. Be a little swap up from a few women. But I will say this. You like for men to be Johnny on the spot in the natural. You like for them to be men of their word in the natural. How much of God can we find as being a man of your word in God? I don't think I'd get a whole lot of shouting. How much can God depend on you? He's not a liar. One man said one time, he said, to call a man a lie, he said, it's almost fighting words. But who are you to fight with God? Sir, you can't box with God, as the old black preacher said. Your arm's too short. Your arm's too short to box with God. You can't reach where He's at. It's better for you to go ahead and pay what you said you was going to pay and bite the bullet, as your world says, and just get down to business and start doing what you told the Lord you was going to do. Oh, come on here. I mean, hey, I know that I get some Sunday school teachers mad. You know why? I'll tell you why they get mad. It's easy to teach it, but it's another thing to live what you're teaching. It's one thing to tell a man to pray and you never pray. It's one thing to tell a man what he needs to do and you never do it. It's one thing to tell everybody else to be willing to sacrifice when you start looking by for the cheapest thing you can get.
I'm not going to get involved in this, but I'm going to say it and drop it in and move on. I'll tell you how communism is going to take over. They feed your kids. They provide transportation for your kids to go to school. All they do is punch their little ticket and they get a meal just like the boy paid behind them. When it comes down to it, they're going to say, I own your child. I fed him for the past 12 years. He's mine. Forget it. I ain't going there. But what I am going to say, sir, may be a little tight. For a man to be a man of his word, he must be a man first in his character to himself. He must be a man in his own house. It's sad, sir, when everybody else's house has more confidence in you than your own house. Say amen anyhow. I might need to call my wife up here to help me pray. But you know what? I ripped my little heart out faster than anything. I appreciate when you brethren shake my hand and tell me you appreciate it and everybody else. I thank you for it. But I'll tell you what gets a hold of this little fat boy is when I lay down at night and my wife looks at me and she says, baby, you reached my heart tonight. You preached to me. Oh, that's when you know you can say, come on here, look at me now. You know why? I got something to preach here, and I know some of you ain't going to dance with it. But you hear me in this house. When Jephthah looked at his daughter and said, I have opened my mouth, and I have vowed a vow unto God. Hear me in this house. He knew because he was a man of his word before he ever made a vow. Hear me in this house. I said he was a man of his word before he ever opened his mouth to vow a vow to God. Hear what he said. I have opened my mouth and I have told the Lord this. She knew her daddy. And she turned and she said these words. Listen to what she told him. She turned and she told her father. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done. Let it be done. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth up to the Lord, do to me according to which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth. I want to preach something here after the Holy Ghost. When you got a daddy that's committed, he'll have children that's committed. Don't everybody shout it once. When you got a daddy that says, God's son, I want to be a holy daddy. I want to be a daddy that's an equal son of a high. I want to be a man of his word. He's going to produce children. But when he is a man, whatever comes, whatever goes, he flies off the handle. He makes vows and never pays them. He don't have sanctified daughters that run to the door and say, Daddy, do what you told the Lord. I don't think you're getting this. Do what you told the Lord. How about the Holy Ghost say that again? Do what you told the Lord. Why did she have that in her, brother? I'll tell you why she had it in her. Because she knew he was a man of his word before he went to battle. Somewhere or another, she heard Jephthah praying. Somewhere or another, she heard Jephthah telling God, I mean to do, come on, after the Holy Ghost to preach this, and you ain't going to shout with me, I can tell. Hallelujah. she was a girl that heard her daddy get down and pray and get up and act out what he was praying about. She was a girl that heard her daddy say, God, I'm going to. And then the next going, she saw him doing it. So when he came in, and he said, Daddy, you do what the Lord told you to do. And you do what you told God you'd do. Everybody wants the victory, but nobody wants to pay the price for victory. Everybody wants to feel what it feels like to be on the top, but nobody wants to start at the bottom to reach the top. We want the top from the top. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know why our country's failing? Hang on to your seat. You know why she's failing?